when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Ironically, if you remember, that comes from Job. And when he stated it, if you remember, he was hoping that when he was tried, as if he was in court, that he would be labeled as innocent. But yet, ironically, or maybe this is just a God thing, God was meaning that phrase in a totally different manner at the end, when he was tried, when he went through all of the junk in life, right? He came out in the end with a clearer picture of our God. And that's what I appreciated about Job even better. So thank you, Michelle, for presenting that. Every time I see you on the agenda, I think you're going to sing. Then I get let down because you're doing the piano. And then you do such a good job, you know, that I'm happy again. So we're all good. All right. So Galatians chapter 2. And we'll run over there. Or you can just turn the pages to Galatians if you would like. Or you can just be lazy and look at the screen. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1, we're going to be starting there very soon. I've titled this Unity in the Gospel. And it's very, very important that we understand this truth here tonight as we go through it, that you will understand how we can have unity in the gospel. With a church down the road that preaches the same gospel, we can still have unity with them. We are on the same team. With the church in the next town or in the next state or in Kenya, they preach the same gospel. We are on the same team. And we should work hard to keep that unity. Why are there so many denominations out there? Because people can't get along. And that's the sad part when we're labeled as Christians. And so as we get into this tonight, think about that as we head through. But unity in the gospel, you say, we're already a couple weeks in Galatians, so what's happened so far? Paul has jumped in. He's stated, this is not a commendation letter, this is not a praise letter, which is usually there's some sort of praise that's given in the midst of the letter, and yet in this one, he does not give it. He's laying this out, this letter, to the churches of Galatia. And so there's multiple local churches that this is going to, but it's still relevant to our church, our local church here today. There's an issue. People are walking away from the truth. They're walking away from the gospel that was preached. And he says, how can you be so quickly removed from the truth that was presented to you? Somebody was coming in and mixing something else in with the gospel. Now, Jesus plus something else equals nothing. But Jesus plus nothing equals everything. In Christ alone. Didn't we sing that song this morning? It's a beautiful song. And it means so much to us. It can only be through Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, no woman comes unto the Father, but by me. By the way, that is the practical use of where you can put both genders in. Not amen. That has nothing to do with gender there. I just want to let you know, if you were confused by that this past week, amen has nothing to do with gender. I mean, so be it, okay? So if that helps you out, we don't say Mandalorian and woe Mandalorian. We don't say menu and woe menu. We don't do that kind of thing. It doesn't mean the same thing, okay? Just to help you out, that's some wisdom from this young guy up here. I don't know if you needed it, but it helped me out. But anyway, as we get into this, again, they're having an issue. And he's coming in here and saying, this is a problem. You're so quickly running away from the gospel. It's Jesus alone. Here's my testimony. Not just a story that I'm going to throw out to you that's going to motivate you to do life. I want you to see what God has done in my life and how he's changed me in a way that would be absolutely a miracle when people hear about it and people didn't even know who Paul was or haven't met him face to face. And yet they heard what God had done in his life and they knew that God was in control. They knew that his power was on display. Okay. And so as we get into this, he's given this testimony and it's so important. He's saying, listen, don't add anything to the gospel. Now, tonight, we're going to hear about a different circumstances where 14 years later, we find him heading to Jerusalem to go and to speak to the, if you want to say, the hierarchy. OK, they were labeled as the pillars. They were the apostles. OK, and you will see the names that he throws out here. He goes and you can actually see this in Acts 15. I'll let you go to that for your homework and read through that and understand what's going on here and how that correlates. But he's going to be heading there and he's going to be presenting the gospel that he's been presenting to all these people all over the place for 14 years. He's going to tell them what he's been doing. He hasn't been to the school of the apostles yet. And I don't think he will ever go. Because he got his truth from Jesus Christ. And so as we get into this, you say the problem that has been presented is that, and for some of you, this might be confusing. You might be like, why is this even an issue? Okay, the issue is of circumcision. Say, what a weird issue to have within the church. Well, if you know the background of Jewish history, God set it up in the Old Testament that he wanted all of the males that were his people to become circumcised on a certain day. And this was supposed to happen for every single one to set them apart. They were his people. And that was the symbol of that. Now, all of a sudden, we've gotten into Christianity, which is brand new to a lot of people in the sense of Jesus coming and dying and rising again the third day, conquering sin and death. And all of a sudden, there's Judaizers that are coming in here and saying, we want to take parts of the old law and add that to the gospel. We want to add that to what Jesus has done. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. We don't need to add anything to his work. When we add to his work, we mess it up. Why mess up perfection? Now, in the sense of, I mean, sometimes we think, oh, some of the things that we do is perfect. So all of a sudden, let's say that you want to do something nice. Let's just put me in this situation. Let's throw me under the bus, okay? You want to hear this story, right? So my wife loves to move the furniture, okay? Every few months, she likes to move the furniture so that when in the middle of the night I have to go get one of the kids and deal with them so that she could hear me cry out in anguish as I stub my toe because I forgot where she put the couch, okay? And so let's just say that all of a sudden I think to myself, you know, just to make my wife happy, I'm going to move the furniture. Okay, some of you already know that there's going to be an issue with this, right? Why? Because even though I might think it's perfect the way it is, this fits my needs, right? When she walks in, she'll be like, what did you just do? No, this has to go here and this has to go there. And I was like, don't mess with perfection, honey. I did this. I did this work of art. Now, you're all giggling because you know that whatever I've set up wouldn't be perfection. Listen, Jesus set up the gospel. He died for the gospel. He rose again for the gospel. He took on human flesh for the gospel. And we don't need to mess that up. What he's set up needs to stay put. And even when we try to mess with it, you can't detract from what God does. That's like trying to go out to a big old boulder that somebody set up and trying to kick it and seeing if it will move. you're just going to hurt yourself. It's the same way with the gospel. If you try to mess with it, you're just going to hurt yourself and others that are around you. All right. So as we get into this, what's the point? We might not be messing with the idea of the circumcision issue because that's not necessarily relevant, but the principle remains the same. You say, how would that work out? Now let me ask you this. Have we ever messed with a situation like this before? Have you ever heard someone state that church can't be preaching the gospel because they don't use... No, I'm going to get some people mad at me tonight, okay? All right? So throw your emotions out the door for right now and just listen to me. That church doesn't use... Let's just do this. My translation of the Bible. And so therefore they're not preaching the gospel. Have you ever heard that being stated? Do you know how arrogant that can be? Now, you're mad at me. I know you're upset because you might have stated this. But think about it this way. Does those down in Mexico who speak Spanish use the same translation that we do? 9 times out of 10, they are not. So does that negate them preaching the gospel? Is it only English-speaking people or those that use a certain translation actually preach it? I wonder if Jesus used the certain translation that we're talking about. Does that make sense to you? In fact, before the translation that we are using, which is actually a revised version of that translation, before that was being used, there was actually a different translation that everyone had accepted. So do we negate all of those people as well? Now that I've made you all mad at me, let's go into a different category. What about denomination? Oh, be careful, Pastor Taylor. This is why he doesn't let me preach on Sunday mornings very often. Let me give you an illustration. You all were very accepting. You want to know why? Because my family, just recently, a couple years ago, was at a non-denominational church. Now, for some of you, that's a shock. Some of you are about ready to get up and walk out. Did you know that we were very Baptistic? In fact, most people thought we were Baptists because we believe the exact same thing. Our Constitution was almost the same exact thing. Our covenant was almost word for word. Guess what? We got it from the same place. No. I thought that Pastor Cook created that. Guess what? Grace Baptist Church did not invent the wheel. And Dayton Center Church was actually older than Grace Baptist Church. While we were there in 2015, we were celebrating 150 years. What? No way. See, sometimes we get upset because we think that we're not on the same team because they don't have Grace Baptist Church in front of their name. And yet, do we actually do the work and go and see what kind of gospel they preach? Because sometimes they might label themselves Grace Baptist Church, but they have nothing to do with the Bible. Because I've gone onto websites, and you can now do this. Back in the day, you couldn't do this. Now you can go in and search out Baptist churches near me. And you go on and you look at their belief system and you think, what Bible did they use to come up with that? So you say, what needs to happen? It sounds like we need to do some work. You say, we need to be at work knowing what the truth is and making sure that we're fighting for it. We're contending for the faith, like what Jude says. What are we messing with nowadays? Listen, nowadays, just recently in this past year, there has been some religions that have popped up, or what people have made as a religion, as if you didn't hold on to this organization or political party, you must not be a Christian. Now, again, leave your emotions aside. Don't get mad at me the moment that I state it, okay? I'm going to start it with this way. Do you know that patriotism has almost become a religion for Christians? And I hear more about our rights, our God-given rights, than I hear about the Bible that God gave as His Word. Have you noticed that lately? You start speaking about the Bible and they say, no, my God-given right according to the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Hold on. Which article are you holding as being the Word of God? Which do you elevate higher? Your citizenship of heaven or of America? Now, I've also had some friends, and again, check your emotions at the door. Don't get mad at me before I explain the truth. I've also had some friends that are very upset with Christians that don't accept the organization of Black Lives Matter. They don't like it. That Christians don't accept it. That Christians don't go out in the street and they do the same thing that this organization is doing. Now listen, I will state this. In Sunday school this morning, I was talking about how God values life. And it doesn't matter what gender you are, or what color you are, or what social status you are, or what political party you are, God created you and He values you. And if we are Christians, then we need to value other people. But yet some organization that is wants to come out and be political and try to help people, whatever it might be, whatever their belief system it is, we do not take that organization and add it to the gospel and say you must be a lesser Christian because you don't put these three letters on your resume. You get what I'm saying? Jesus only. Do we need to do better about loving people of all color? Yes. We do. Because instead of seeing them as a color, we need to see them as that song that we used to sing. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Maybe we need to start singing those songs again. Maybe we need to start living out those songs again. Saying, where are you going? Where are you going with this? I'm trying to get you to the point that we might cast out Galatians because it's not the same circumstances, but yet we are living the same circumstances because people are trying to add things to the gospel saying, well, you go to this church, so you must be a lesser of a Christian, or you do this, or you're part of this organization, so you're lesser of a Christian, or you believe in this political party, so you must be lesser of a Christian. Stop. We have to stop that. We have to look to the Word of God and preach truth. Amen? as we get into this tonight, he goes on, now that you can stop being ticked at me, here we go. We get into verse number 1. It says, then 14 years later, after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, Barnabas would have been someone who would be acceptable in these Judaizers' sight. Okay. All right. He goes up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and then took Titus with him also. All right. Who's Titus? Titus would have been a Gentile. He was uncircumcised. He wasn't a part of this, what was an acceptable Christian to these Judaizers. So Paul is actually associating with someone that would not be a Christian to them. Now, I'm not meaning to the apostles. I'm meaning to these people that are giving issues. And it goes on and it says, and I went up by revelation. It says, what does that mean? Because God wanted them to go. They were led by God's will to go to Jerusalem and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, I might have used a term there that you might not recognize, Gentile. Okay? That just means that anybody besides a Jew. All right? And in that day, sometimes you see it throughout Scripture where it'll talk about Gentile, and the meaning behind it is that they didn't believe in God. That was their description. Okay? They were not of God. And so you'll see that sometimes throughout Scripture. But as he goes through here, he's saying Titus here, he was a Greek or Gentile. He wasn't even compelled to do what these false teachers were wanting them to do. So you say, what is this all about? Well, I titled this point, A Matter of Practice. And again, this comes from Acts 15. So if you want to check that out later on, you can. But here he is. He's brought Barnabas and Titus, two fellow workers. And if you remember, Titus was one that was another fellow preacher, pastor, that he left in the island of Crete. And he was supposed to be taking care of all these other churches. And this is that's my Sunday morning series that I usually teach out of. And so that's a totally different series. But as we get into this, that's who Titus is. And so as he goes up, they were going up as they were led by God, which means something. They weren't underneath the pressure of those who were preaching a totally different, perverted gospel. They were not underneath pressure by them. That's not why they left. They didn't leave and go to Jerusalem because they got some invitation from the higher ups, the Jerusalem council. They didn't do that. They did what God wanted them to do. So they walked up to Jerusalem, or however way they got there. They went to Jerusalem. Why? Because they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. And he wanted to explain to them after several years, this is what we're doing. Why? Because you know what? You know what travels faster than the speed of light? Gossip. You know what was thought to be going on in the midst of all of this? As Paul was doing what God wanted him to do, there was other people that liked to talk. Why? Because maybe people liked Paul. Maybe his work was going great, and we all know that that's what was happening. Paul's ministry was going great. There was problems, obviously. We've seen a whole lot of that. There was a lot of opposition to his ministry, but people still didn't like Paul. And you know, another thought process that people were thinking was that these Judaizers going around, and I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but you know, they thought that they were going around and saying, well, Peter would have done it this way. That's not the way that James would have done it. That's not what James teaches. That's not what John has done in the past. If you would be more like them, because they're real apostles. You see what I'm saying? He's going because God wants him to go so he could explain what he's been actually doing. Why? Because there's other people that are telling Peter, James, John a totally different story. Pastor McPhillips, have you ever been stated this? Has this ever been stated to you? Well, Pastor Newman never did that. We didn't do that kind of stuff. Oh my goodness. That's horrible. Baptists don't do that type of thing. Right? Have you ever heard that before? I heard that all the time. All the time. Well, maybe that's why they're not here anymore. No, it's just that. There's always something, right? And there's, my old boss didn't do it like that. This is the problem. And so as he's going in here and he's saying, listen, I want to tell you the gospel that I've been preaching. It's the same gospel that Jesus has presented. It's the same gospel that Jesus died for, that he gave to us. Now, here's something interesting. As they are relating the gospel that they've been preaching, it says there, but privately to them which were of reputation. They went to the leadership in private to communicate what's been going on. You know what they didn't do? Well, I'm going to go get this church and that church and this church, and they know what we're doing, and we're going to gang up, and we're going to go, and we're going to flood the streets, and we're going to tell Peter, James, and John how it's done. And this is a do-or-die moment, and we need to get all ramped up and drink as many energy drinks as we possibly can to get as emotionally crazy as possible and go in and say, this is how it's done, you're going to let me do it, and it doesn't matter what you're going to say, I'm going to do it anyway. How does that work? Let's say your teenager comes up to you and says, I want to have my own curfew and this is how I'm going to do it. And you're going to just accept it because I want it. My parents, they would say, yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, right. We would have had a very long conversation. This is not how it's going to be done. And this is what my dad is saying. I am the head of this household. Right? Have you ever heard that before? What I say goes. I've heard this. You don't have any rights till you're out of my house. You don't own anything till you're out of... Well, I'm going to take my car and my keys and I'm going to go. Good luck paying the insurance and the gas. And I'm going to take the wheels off. Good luck trying to put those back on. Well, I'm just going to call OnStar. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call my senator. I'm going to call my representative, and he's going to get on you. I'm going to call my school counselor. This is child abuse. Right? I mean, come on. This is not what Paul did. He went to them and he said, listen, this is what I'm doing privately. He's not trying to make the news. He's trying to keep the peace. And he's not going to give in if they want him to preach a different gospel because he knows it's not right. He never doubted the gospel. In fact, it talks about how, you know, I wanted to make sure that this was done so I didn't run in vain. It was not his doubt of the gospel that made him do this. It was to go in there and put this on display and say, this is what I'm doing because I want to communicate this, because all of a sudden there is this division, and because of this division, it's taking people away from the ministry that I've worked so hard to build for the sake of Jesus Christ. And he says, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to run in vain. I want all the time and the effort, the blood, sweat, and tears to have make sense. I want people to run the race. that was set before them, looking into the author and finisher of our faith. Don't want to waste it. And guess what? When you go in and communicate with respect, not to humiliate, not to get your own way, but to go in and with respect and love, desiring peace, guess what? People can get along. It's possible with Jesus. It's possible. God can overcome so much if we put it in His hands. And so as he gets into this, here's a matter that needs to be dealt with. It's a matter of practice that needs to be handled. And as he goes on, we have a matter of necessity. He goes on in verse 4 and 5. It says, "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." He says, listen, some people snuck into the church claiming Christianity, and they really messed it up. Because they came in, they claimed Christianity, but all they wanted to do was see what we're doing and mess it up. You know, some people, that is their life's goal. It's just to mess up other people. If they see you with joy and happiness, they want to mess that up. They're going to make your life as hard as possible. They want to destroy what you've got going on. And that's exactly what happened here. They saw the freedom that these Christians had in Christ, and they say, no, we've got to mess this up by putting them back underneath bondage. We want to put some standards in their life to add to the gospel, to make it impossible for them to get to heaven. You say, what do you mean? Jesus plus works equals nothing. That's it. And they were coming in and they wanted to add these things. Guess what? When a pastor, priest, bishop, whatever you want to call it, comes in and says you have to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, that's not the gospel, in order to be the right kind of Christian, in the sense of adding all these extracurriculars. You got to wear this, you got to sing this way, you got to do the da-da-da-da-da. They're adding all of these things that are outside of the gospel. Why? Because it's so much easier to control people when they feel helpless. Because guess what? If I'm constantly failing the law, knowing that because I'm failing one section of the law, I failed the entire thing, I am constantly feeling like a rat. Right? Have you ever seen churches like that, where their people have no joy because they're never good enough? Guess what? The gospel makes us justified, cleansed, holy, just as if I'd never sinned. That's the beauty of the gospel. We cannot attain heaven. Jesus makes it possible through the gospel to go there. That's the beauty of it. So you don't have to look right in my eyes. You just need to look right in God's. And it's through the gospel. Have I talked about the gospel enough tonight? That's kind of the theme of Galatians. As we go into this, here he is. He's stating these people snuck in. They thought that they were Christians because they claimed it. And they just wanted to mess it up for everybody else. And he says, listen, we didn't even give you an hour's worth of time. We didn't give you a Sunday morning service. We didn't give you a pulpit. We didn't give you a lectern. We didn't give you the opportunity to destroy what God is doing here. We don't have time for a perversion of the gospel. That's what we need to be ready to say and do, live out. So then in verses 6 through 10, we have another matter of unity. We run through this and it says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." So there's that word "seem" quite a bit. So it seemed to be like these people who were, let's put it in Taylor language. It seemed like these people who were the people to look to seemed to be in conference with these other Judaizers, which wasn't the case. We've seen that. Because they ended up adding nothing to Paul. They didn't want to add to his ministry and the gospel that was being preached. What he was preaching was the gospel. Why add to it? So he's saying, it seemed like, because of all the conversation that was going on, these people that he was, that were supposedly better than him, that knew it better than him, that all the Judaizers were talking about, and he says, God isn't a respecter of persons. Just because your name is Peter doesn't make you any more spiritual than somebody whose name is Judas. Okay? He's saying, that doesn't matter. God shows no favoritism to anybody. But he's saying what seemed to be was not, because they didn't add anything to the message. It says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter," you say, what is that? Peter, his ministry was to go and to preach to the Jews. Paul's ministry was to go and to preach to those that weren't Jews. Okay, now did Paul minister to those that were Jews? Yes, in fact, he would go there first and then go to the Gentiles. But primarily, his focus was the Gentiles. And he's saying, it's the same exact thing. We were on the same team. We were just in different places. And it goes on, it says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." The same God, the same Holy Spirit was active in me as it was in Peter. Guess what? That same God who is active in Paul and Peter, James, John, is active in me. And you, those that are in Christ. He works with the same power. And verse 9, "And when James, Cephas," which is Peter and John, "who seemed to be pillars," because they were the high dogs, you know, in Christianity, "who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," the Gentiles, "and they unto the circumcision," the Jews. So they said, hey, we're on the same team, buddy. Let's get the job done. Why waste any more time? Let's go. They gave the right hand of fellowship. We're on the same team. We're unified in the gospel. We have the same name of Jesus that we are preaching. Why fight about this? There's nothing to fight about. We're preaching the exact thing. And in verse 10, it seems like it's just kind of out there, but it's so important for us. It says, "Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also forward to do." It was also forward to do. You say, what was he doing? Well, see, there was a famine in Judea, and there were relief efforts to go and to help them. And you'll actually see it in Acts 11:29. Paul has already proved to do this, okay? Go ahead and shoot to that next screen. "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." So these were Jewish Christians, those that were of the Jewish heritage, okay? They had come to Christ and they needed help. So guess what? Other churches were coming together to help them out. Because we're on the same team. And in the end, they said, hey, we're on the same team. Let's shake this out, you know, handshake, and you go on your way and we'll go on ours. But don't forget those who are suffering right now and need help. So what is it talking about there? Paul, who is ministering to those who weren't Jews, they were trying to get him to go to this other culture, this other people, this other country, this other town, this other city, who are on the same team, and ask them to help the Jews out. Even when there were some Jewish supposed Christians that were trying to negate the gospel, they wanted them to do extra stuff. So he's saying, what's going on here? They've reached out, understanding that they're on the same team, that the gospel spans across every culture, because Jesus does not limit it to one color, one people group, only to the United States, one gender. He doesn't do that. And they're calling again, let's team up. We know the needs. Let's get past this, because it can be a real issue, can't it? Let's get past this, work together, because we're all fighting for the same God. I find this rather encouraging to know there are people all around the world that love God and want His gospel known. And you know what's amazing? In this past year, we saw a need of a child in Haiti. The deacons talked about it on a Sunday night. And the deacon said, hey, we're just going to recommend this amount to the church, not the full amount that was needed. Just recommend it. And then if the church wants to give the whole entire thing, they can. But this is what we're going to recommend. The next day, the guys came in and counted the offering from the previous day, that Sunday, and found out after we had already committed to helping out this individual, the next day, God used someone to give over and above what was needed, thousands of dollars into our missions budget. Like, wow, that's amazing. How we've committed to help someone, not in Taylorville, not in Pena, no, Haiti, to try to take this person's, this child's life and extend it, Lord willing, that he will continue and learn how to reflect God in the best way possible, become saved and be someone that praises the name of Jesus. We want to be a part of this effort. We want to help alleviate a burden. Can you imagine that child's parents? How they would have reacted when they found out that everything was taken care of. I don't know about you, but if it was my child, I'd be doing a little jig. But we're not we're Baptist. We got to keep it vertical. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. The gospel made the difference. We came together fighting for the same team. But we got to fight for the right gospel, right? We got to fight to keep the gospel pure from all those things, all those pressures that are all around us, making sure that we're preaching in Christ alone. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all that you give us here in this passage. And there's so much to go over, and probably a lot that I missed to portray here, but God, you gave the words to say, and God, may it not return void. God, if there's someone here tonight that has no idea what the gospel is and has no idea how the gospel can change their life, and Jesus coming to die for us and rising again, conquering sin and death, may they understand that tonight. May they choose to be saved tonight. God, if there's some in here tonight that have been tempted to allow other things to pervert the gospel, have allowed other influences to take away from it, God, may they purge that from their mind and remember in Christ alone. God, we have a job to do, and we're a part of a major team that expands beyond our own imagination, because we've got an extraordinary gospel to preach to the world, and we can't all do it by our own individual self. God, help us to know that we're on a team, to act like it, to live it out, to present the gospel. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.